With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday night recap show of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. And if you are watching us live on YouTube, youtube.com/fantasypros, welcome to the first ever Sunday night live stream recap. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me, as always, is Mike Tagliere. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80 and at Mike Tagliere NFL. What'd you do today, Tags? Anything interesting? Home Depot?
Just kind of hung around the house, you know, did some chores, did some vacuuming, maybe trim some leaves or some bushes. I don't even know what I'm saying. We're watching football.
We're currently watching football, by the way. This is good to get a little peek in behind the curtain. There are games still going on. Tags and I, if you don't see us looking at the camera, we're literally looking at stats and watching the game. So don't be distracted. And Tag sometimes gets really excited when something goes really well for one of his DFS lineups and he lets out a little woohoo.
For sure.
So that'd be cool. Anyway, if you're not watching it live on YouTube, you can find it anytime. It's going to be there. Go to youtube.com/fantasypros, subscribe, give it a shot. Also, look at us on Instagram. Today I did an Instagram live. I had a takeover this morning answering your start sit questions. We've got new posts with solid quick hitting advice every single day. Rankings, start sit advice. And again, takeover from me every Sunday morning, 10 to 11, answering your start sit questions. Go follow us at Fantasy Bros over at Instagram. All right, Tags, we usually start with winners and losers, but I am introducing a new segment. It is called Real or No Real because we have to move at light speed. So I'm going to list standouts at each position. You're going to tell me in lightning speed, is this real? Can we expect it? Or no, not real. So I'm not really buying it. Again, a little play on Deal or No Deal. I'm very clever. So get used to it. Okay. Are you ready, Tags?
I'm ready.
QB, Aaron Rodgers against the Vikings, 32 of 44 for 364 yards and 4 touchdowns. Real or no real?
Half real. Is that allowed?
Nope. But go ahead. I mean, I can't stop you. Go ahead.
Real. Real.
Yeah. I mean, it is, right? Like, this is what we were saying. Is this going to be an FU season from Aaron Rodgers? And this, are you buying it legitimately after one game?
I mean, I'm not going to buy it legitimately. I don't think he's like an every week starter. I don't think he's all of a sudden like a top six quarterback again. I still worry about the offense. They used 4 different running backs this week instead of the 3 that we thought that they were going to use. It's kind of a mess, but it was a game where it made a lot of sense to attack through the air. And that's why Rodgers, I talked about him in the primer saying that I thought he was a good tournament play this week. And it obviously panned out because the Vikings defense, it's just not the same. So Rodgers, you're going to be able to play him in good matchups.
Yeah, I am encouraged by this one, honestly, more than just a really good game because he doesn't always do that well against Mike Zimmer. So even, you know, with the depleted secondary that they've got over there in Minnesota, the lack of a real strong pass defense, I liked it. I'm definitely encouraged. I'm going to go with real as well. Running back Adrian Peterson, 14 carries for 93 yards, plus 3 catches, all 3 of his targets for 21 yards at Green Bay, at Arizona, next 2 matchups. Adrian Peterson, real or no real?
No real. They were ahead in this game. They were up 23-6 at one point. I know that because obviously I'm watching the Bears. And they kind of sat on the lead. DeAndre Swift was someone that was behind in practice. Took a little bit of time for him to get into the game plan. He actually got a goal line carry, which I was surprised at. Kerryon Johnson, I think, had 7 carries. So this is a messy timeshare and one that DeAndre Swift will soon take over.
We'll see. As long as he doesn't drop game-winning touchdown passes, I'll need to clean that part up a little bit. But congratulations to your Bears. Must be nice to root for a team that wins every now and then. Wide receiver Russell Gage. You may look at 12 targets and 9 catches and be like, oh, great, Julio Jones. That's true. Oh, Calvin Ridley. That's true. Oh, Russell Gage. That's also true. 12 targets, 9 catches, 114 yards against the Seahawks. Real or no real?
No real. He's going to have a role. I think he's going to be more impactful during bye weeks than anything. It could be like last year's Cole Beasley, where he's a guy that sees, you know, borderline 100 targets on the season just because of necessity, and this Falcons team throws the ball 650 times. Last year he had double digit targets in multiple games, but he never topped 76 yards. This is a very one-off scenario. Hayden Hurst is going to continue to grow in the offense. It was his first game there. Jamal Adams actually covered Hayden Hurst a lot of the game. He was flying all over the field. Jamal Adams was awesome. But
thanks for rubbing it in, but that's fine.
It's also known that Russell Gage was in the concussion protocol, but he was cleared to return. I know sometimes that could be a little like, whereas if he shows up to the practice facility on Monday or Tuesday and then, like, you know, has any symptoms, they're going to rule him out for the next week. So it's something to pay attention to.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no real on this one. I get it. You know, but they were behind. They had to throw Matt Ryan, you know, threw it a million times. I think that in the end, Gage, I guess not that different from what you're saying. Just to me, that's no real. I don't think he's a guy who you're really going to be able to rely on ever, except when you're really depleted in bye weeks. Finally, tight end TJ Hockenson catches all 5 of his targets for 56 yards with a score. Real or no real?
Real. Real. This team needs targets. They need guys to catch passes. And, you know, Kenny Galladay dealing with the hamstring injury. Marvin Jones now over 30 years old. Quintez Cephas is obviously, he's a rookie, and they targeted him 10 times today. It just goes to show that they're lacking options in this passing attack, and Hockenson needs to be a guy.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, Kenny Galladay was out, so we'll see there. But 100%, I agree. This is a real. All right, let's move on to your favorite segment and my favorite segment, America's favorite segment, What's Your Problem, Man, where I basically call you out on all your horrible rankings for the season, not for the week, but just for the season. It's week one, so we can't really do it. But these are essentially guys who I am higher on than tagged and happen to have a good day, and I yell at him. Let's start with Emmanuel Sanders, just because you screamed at me, you and Yates, in the preseason about ranking him as like a wide receiver 4. Not a huge day today. And again, it's still going on. He may have added to this when we started recording. It was only 3 targets, 2 catches, but a sexy touchdown over there, 11 yards. So, Tags, you have him as like a wide receiver 9. What's your problem, man?
Wide receiver 9. To be honest with you, I did move him up before the rankings like contest closed. I moved him up to, I think, wide receiver like 55, maybe it was 53. I did move him up a little bit, but he caught a touchdown. Just stop it. He had nothing before he caught that touchdown. Even Michael Thomas is having a bad day. I mean, it's a weird day because the Saints have put up 34 points on the board, but Michael Thomas hasn't really been a part of it. Alvin Kamara, a couple touchdowns, but I mean, I'm going to look at all this stuff afterwards. I'm going to go back and able to like go through Game Pass and watch these games in you know, 20, 30 minute clips and like nail down how they're using him and if he's going to be a factor moving forward.
Good. I want him up 10 spots in your rankings before we record next week. How about at running back, Raheem Mostert? It's not like you were down on Raheem Mostert or anything like that. This game is still going on, so I'm going to look at the live stats. 3 catches, 86 yards, and the touchdown, that early 76-yard one, and 15 carries for 57 yards. I mean, you had him at 24th, at least, coming in. I had him at 19th. Now, that's not an insignificant difference when you're there. I mean, you know, might be in total projections, but when you were drafting, that's, you've got to take Mostert over people. People were fading Mostert a little bit, and I didn't really get it. I think he's going to be a monster.
Yeah, I mean, I think this week it helps that they had to kind of build the game plan around him because Tevin Coleman was someone they didn't even know if he was going to play due to the quality of the air out there in San Francisco. So he was highly questionable. So I think they had a game plan with Mostert. I always liked Mostert. It was just a matter of, is he going to get those carries? And I did feel better about him after, you know, he got that contract from them. And I'm looking at my rest of season rankings. I'm struggling because I think Mostert belongs in the territory with guys like Mark Ingram, David Montgomery. That's the tier he belongs in to me. I don't think I can confidently say I want him higher than Jonathan Taylor moving forward because it seems like Marlon Mack suffered a season-ending injury. We don't have any word on that, official word, but they're suspecting that it's a torn Achilles for him. And if that's the case, then I'd rather have Jonathan Taylor than someone like Raheem Mostert.
I completely agree with that, to be clear, and we'll get to Taylor. But for me, you know, I agree. He's in maybe that tier with the Mark Ingrams, who, again, didn't have a great day today, but whatever. I agree, but for me, he's at the top of that tier. Like, he was a guy who I think if he stays healthy, there is just limited. Today was kind of a perfect storm for him again because of the Tevin Coleman stuff. But I do think that given his talent, if he stays healthy, he's going to really be a value, one of the biggest values in drafts. All right, Let's get on. Game recaps. Let's get into it. No reason to waste time. Let's start with the... this can't be right. I think it's the Bills 27 and the Jets 10. I have in my notes Bills 27, Jets 31, but I watched that game, and unless we're in another universe, that's a typo on my part. So let's go Bills 27, Jets 10. Tags, this unfolds basically around the way you'd expect it to unfold, except for the fact that Josh Allen throws 46 times, and I believe his first ever game with over 300 yards passing, if I'm right, 312 yards passing, two passing touchdowns, some pretty egregious misses, but he does rush for another touchdown. And the receivers, they chip in 9 targets, 8 catches, 86 yards for Diggs. John Brown, 10 targets, 6 catches, 70 yards and a touchdown. Could have been 2, again, without it. I don't think there's all that much to take away from the passing game, Tags, unless you want to draw. Obviously, we'll get to the running game in a second. It was a tougher matchup for the running backs. I don't really think there's anything changes your mind about how you viewed Allen, Diggs, or Brown coming in, does it?
I mean, I think this boosts everybody in the passing game. And I say that just because the 46 pass attempts in a game they led throughout. I mean, they were up 21-3 at halftime in this game. They were ahead in this game throughout. So this is a team that traditionally would have run the ball. I don't know if this is a one-off situation, but it's definitely promising to say that Diggs saw 9 targets. John Brown saw 10 targets. I don't even know if there was... There may have been one game last year where John Brown saw that many targets. I don't know if he ever had, like, he scored 19 PPR points in this game. I think he may have had one or two games over 20 PPR points last year. So it's like,
but 46 passing attempts. I mean, that's the thing. It's not as if suddenly he's like, oh, I love John Brown. It's just, we can't expect him to throw this much. Like, I don't get it. They had the game in hand from the word go, but I got to imagine that it was just like, we're not having success running the ball. We're just going to pass it. And that's just what we're going to do. That's how I'm viewing it.
For sure. No, and that's the thing. But they didn't do that at all last year. Even when they weren't having success on the ground, they kept going back to it. But if you go watch that Zach Moss touchdown, the receiving one, that was brilliant on Josh Allen's part, because like he took off to go to scramble and you saw the linebackers collapse on him. And it was just like perfect because he was running all over them and they had to respect it. And that's what he brings to the table. Unfortunately, he left a lot on the table in this game. As you said, like Josh Allen should have had 4 touchdowns in this game. Easy. It wasn't a great performance, but it was a great performance for fantasy owners.
What about the running backs here? I mean, they both get 9 carries here. Devin Singletary, 9 for 30 on the ground. He does those 5 catches through the air. Zach Moss, only 11 yards gained with 9 carries, but he does get into the end zone. Just 3 catches for 16 yards. And they basically, Singletary, basically a 60-40 split in the snaps. How do you feel about the Bills' backfield with Miami up next?
Honestly, when I see 14 touches to 12 touches or whatever it turned out to be, I think that's what it was. 14 touches for Singletary, 12 for Moss. Knowing that Moss is going to get a lot of the goal line work, it's very possible that Zach Moss is the more valuable running back moving forward. This is his first NFL game. So I'm really curious to see how this works out. Unfortunately, I don't think either of them could be started as anything more than like a flex option RB3 right now, knowing that Josh Allen is a goal line back, knowing they have him dropping back to pass 46 times in a game they led throughout. So I'm a little concerned, because if it is a timeshare, you need them to rack up, let's say 28 to 32 touches per game between the two. And if that doesn't happen, and it didn't today, I just don't know if we could trust them.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, it was a bad matchup, as we said, coming in. I don't think you can start either one, certainly not confidently. I think Moss is the one to roster long term. I've felt that way since the draft. So I do think that that's what eventually is going to take place. But for now, I agree. You can roster both, but I'm not starting either one if I can avoid it. On the Jets side, look, Jamison Crowder, he's always going to be there for you, Tags. You know I love him. 13 targets. There is nobody else to throw the ball to. 7 catches, 115 yards, and a touchdown. He breaks that one really long one. Chris Herndon does see the 7 targets, 6 catches, 37 yards. He does lose a fumble, but really the story for the Jets is the injury to Le'Veon Bell. It's a hamstring. Don't know how serious it is. He had 6 carries for 14 yards. And 2 catches for 32 yards before the injury. If Bell is out going forward, do you want anybody else in that Jets backfield?
No. I mean, we talked about this before, Dan. They have 5 new offensive linemen there. It was going to take time for them to gel. What we liked about Le'Veon Bell is the fact that he was going to be used in the passing game. And Josh Adams, the guy that came in to replace Le'Veon Bell in the lineup, is not a pass catcher. Even going back to his college days, Frank Gore is not a pass catcher. If anything, this makes me feel better about Chris Herndon moving forward. And I think that he's like a low-end tight end one, while Le'Veon Bell potentially misses time.
All right, guys, before we keep going, pristine auction. All the helmets that we use in our contests come from there, like the Clyde Edwards-Helaire helmet that we are giving away currently. If you like signed helmets or signed jerseys or autographed pictures of football players or game-used cleats or Disney paraphernalia or baseball cards or anything at all, Pristine Auction is your place to be. You know, you think of an auction and it's like people dressed up in suits with those paddles and they're spending thousands of dollars on art and all that. Well, Pristine Auction is a lot like that, except without the paddles. And you're sitting in your pajamas on your computer and you can choose from 10,000 sports items to bid on at any given time. And you're sitting in your pajamas on your computer. I know I said that last part twice, but it's that important. Seriously, thousands of auctions every day. Free to register, free to bid. You'll get some great prices. A Melvin Gordon signed jersey yesterday went for $49.14. Just go to pristineauction.com. That's PRISTINE auction.com. You want $5 in free credits? Use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field when you sign up. They'll know we sent you. Again, that's pristineauction.com. Go check them out. You will not be disappointed. Okay, Seahawks 38, Falcons 25. You know, it was good advice, Tags, when we said on the DFS show, start every piece of this offense, both offenses, that you can get. Russell Wilson throws four touchdown passes, two to Chris Carson, one to DK Metcalf, who goes for 95 yards, one to Greg Olsen. Tyler Lockett does not catch a touchdown pass, but he does catch all eight of his targets for 92 yards. Just extreme efficiency going on. Even Carlos Hyde scores a rushing touchdown. So, Tags, let me ask something. Chris Carson, he ran the ball six times in a game that they were leading a lot. Carlos Hyde, seven times as they ran out the clock. Wilson, 35 pass attempts, 31 of 35, by the way, had at least 35 pass attempts just six times last year. Are they actually going to let Russ cook, do you think, Tags? And if so, I mean, what's the ceiling? What's the ceiling for this guy?
Today felt like it. It really did. And it felt like it because they designed plays that were not, they were high percentage throws. They would do these little screen passes to Chris Carson. And it was early in the game when they were in the lead. It was almost like a play action, then drop back. And like, it's misdirection plays leading the defense one way and just getting Chris Carson in space. And he looked fantastic in that role. So you kind of wonder, is this kind of like Russell Wilson, you deserve an MVP and we're going to get you an MVP. To see them, Carson and Hyde combined for 13 carries in a game that they were winning throughout is crazy. And that signifies change to me because this is a team in neutral game script. They were always run heavy. Last year, I think they ranked it was 28th in the league in neutral pass game percentage. So when it was a neutral game script within 3 points either way, they were running the ball more than every team except for like three other ones. So this is massive. Dan, how do you feel about Chris Carson? I don't know if you should be buying or selling him. He looked fantastic. He really did with the ball in his hands. However, when you see Carlos Hyde out carry him one time, like by one carry, and you see him, Carlos Hyde, get a goal line carry and steal that rushing touchdown, that makes me concerned because Russell Wilson's net, he hasn't traditionally targeted running backs very much. He's a guy that keeps his eyes down the field. Again, he did take what the Falcons gave him here in a lot of the game, but I don't know if that carries, if that happens moving forward, you know?
I'm done doubting Chris Carson, Tags. I did it every single time he lost a fumble last year. I'm just done with it. Again, they were ahead, you know, in this game. The final score wasn't as close as the actual game was, so I'm not really all that concerned. It is weird. I mean, you expect Chris Carson to get at least double-digit carries, but the fact that he was so involved in the passing game does not make me worried about him at all. If anything, moving him up after this game. Other side of the ball, everything's pretty good. We already touched on Russell Gage, and I mentioned the receivers, 12 targets, 9 catches, over 100 yards for both. Calvin Ridley catches both touchdown passes, one of which there is nobody in the same zip code as him. Gurley scores the early touchdown, just 1 yard receiving, 14 carries for 56 yards rushing. And Matt Ryan just throws nonstop, 54 attempts, 37 completions for 450 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. Any takeaways? Falcons are good. Start everybody. I mean, the offense is going to be really good everywhere, right?
This is why we wanted to attack this. And people ask me all offseason. They're like, you know, you've talked about Julio, you know, Calvin Ridley, obviously. We talked about Hayden Hurst and Todd Gurley. And it was like, I felt like someone was going to disappoint. And then it was like, if you had to narrow it down, I said Todd Gurley would probably be the one I had to choose. Maybe Hayden Hurst, just because there has been no time to build chemistry. This matchup wasn't as great as people thought for Hayden Hurst. But clearly this defense is still a steaming pile of whatever. And they're going to allow points, which is why we love Matt Ryan. 54 pass attempts in this game. And if they keep doing that, it's fantastic. And again, Todd Gurley, even in a game they threw the ball 54 times, he had 19 opportunities. That's massive. So Todd Gurley, if you have him as an RB2, I would be perfectly fine with that.
To the extent there was a dud, as you mentioned, it was Hayden Hurst. He still saw 5 targets, 3 catches, 38 yards, as we have said repeatedly, both in my own household and on the podcast. Jamal Adams really good. I wish he still played for the Jets. Anyway, Bears plus DeAndre Swift, 27, Lions, 23. Look, I made fun of you for your Trubisky take, and I was feeling really, really, really good about that through three quarters, and then the fourth quarter happened, and he threw 3 touchdowns. Look, the Giants, the Falcons, the Colts, the Bucks, the Panthers, Can fantasy managers stream Mitchell Trubisky to a couple of wins here or what?
I'm not going to lie. I feel like you're playing with fire. The Giants are a team. Let's watch them under their new head coach, Joe Judge, when they play the Steelers tomorrow night. That'll obviously determine a lot about how they I feel about like they basically how I attack this defense. But I do know that secondary is lacking talent. But Trubisky, he scared the crap out of me today. Like it was I'm not kidding. I was having a conversation with my brother and I said, we were midway through the third quarter. And I said, yep, it's going to be Foles in week two. And I don't know if they can go back. I really don't just because of how things looked. And now Mitch made a few clutch throws. That one to Anthony Miller, that was the game winner, was a fantastic ball. There were actually a few balls like Allen Robinson gave up on a route in one of them. He had a ball go off his hands. Jimmy Graham mistimed the ball twice. One would have been a touchdown. So Mitch didn't have. It wasn't a good game. Don't mistake that. It wasn't a good game, but it wasn't a horrendous game, especially at the end. But it was really, this comes down to Matt Patricia's terrible coaching. He went into like a prevent defense and it led to an easy comeback for this team that shouldn't have happened. If you're desperate, I do think that he can be started against the Giants. But again, let's look and see how the Steelers do against this defense under the new coaching staff.
Yeah, I think Trubisky, honestly, he's, for lack of a better way to explain it, a rhythm quarterback. Like he was all over the place in the beginning. And then once he kind of got his stride, and again, the defense led up, he found it. But yeah, I'm not relying on him in fantasy. I'll do this for six more weeks. You guys will have him as a streamer and I'll be like, no, I can't do it. Any other takeaways here, Tex? Obviously, Anthony Miller does catch the touchdown. David Montgomery plays 13 for 64 on the ground, plus one catch for 10 yards. Tariq Cohen, not that big a day. Allen Robinson, 5 for 74. Any other takeaways on the Bears?
I mean, outside of big formats, but you should know if you play in like deeper leagues, like 14, 16 team leagues, Darnell Mooney appears to be the Bears' number 3 wide receiver in front of Ted Ginn, which is pretty big for a guy that they drafted in the 6th round. So that's something to pay attention to. But yeah, outside of that, David Montgomery looked really good. That's the one thing I came away from this game saying is like, I knew he'd be somewhat limited in this game, and I didn't know how much run they'd give him. They did give Tariq Cohen and Cordarrelle Patterson combined for 11 carries, where Montgomery got 13. But Montgomery was continually bouncing off like defenders. Like they were coming at him hard, but he looked fantastic. And I think this is a bonus for him moving forward to say, I feel confident with him as a low-end RB2, high-end RB3. And if you got him, you know, later when he suffered that groin injury, good for you, because I thought he looked fantastic.
All right, with the Lions, we've already talked about TJ Hockenson, and we've talked about Adrian Peterson. No Kenny Galladay. Day obviously in this game. Disappointing for Marvin Jones, 8 targets, 4 catches, 55 yards. Danny Amendola gets 81 yards receiving. And you mentioned Quintus Cephas, 10 targets. That's probably not what you want to be doing necessarily, but 3 catches for 43 yards. With the running backs, we've also kind of broken them down. As you said, AP and DeAndre Swift, that's a big drop that he had. Kerryon Johnson, 7 carries, 14 yards. Any takeaways here? I mean, it's a weird game. They were ahead. You thought they were going to win, and there's no Kenny Galladay.
And if Kenny Galladay is out of the lineup, you have to look at Quintez Cephas as a guy that could actually deliver. He probably had some jitters. A lot of these rookies, they're walking into their first NFL game. No preseason action. It's going to affect them. And Cephas was a guy that was not expected to contribute this year. So he kind of, you know, walked into this with Geronimo Allison opting out, Kenny Galladay, you know, with the hamstring. So it wasn't a great game for him. But at the same time, it's good to see him get opportunity. He's just a name to watch, you know, if, again, Kenny Galladay misses time.
Packers 43, Vikings 34. Look, I'm just going to put this out there. If Devontae Adams or Aaron Jones are available on your waiver wire, you should go use your fab. Just monstrous. 17 targets, 14 catches, 156 yards, and 2 touchdowns. We were joking about it in our private channel that, yeah, this might be your wide receiver 1 for the year. And Aaron Jones, not crazy, 76 total yards and a score. But let's talk about the wide receiver 2 or the wide receiver 3 for the Packers, depending on which way you want to look at it. MVS, pretty big game, 6 targets, 4 catches, 96 yards and a touchdown. Alan Lazard catches all 4 of his targets, 63 yards and a touchdown. Who is the other wide receiver, if either one, to own for the Packers?
I think it's Lazard, but I can't say that with any confidence just yet, because you go through the training camp reports and Aaron Rodgers actually said that Marquez Valdes-Scantling was like an MVP of training camp. And that's rare to hear Rodgers say that, because Rodgers has kind of been on Valdes-Scantling's butt for a long time, talking about we need him to be in the right place. We need to be able to trust him. And then he said he kind of got it this offseason for whatever reason. I don't know if it's that third year wide receiver thing. We used to talk about that, but nowadays we just expect everyone to walk in the league and dominate. So Valdes-Scantling was someone that was a great late round pick. But Alan Lazard, again, he was another guy that you loved coming into the season. You and I, we were both high on him. And then I heard how high you were. And I was kind of like, oh, apparently I'm not that high on him. But
that's how I felt with Yates about every player, by the way. But go ahead.
Pretty much. But yeah, no, Alan Lazard, I still think Lazard is probably the number two wide receiver in this offense. But Valdes-Scantling does walk away with six targets. That's something that he hadn't seen. If you go over the second half of last season, it was almost like he disappeared from the offense. And you wondered, is he just going to be an afterthought? But this is obviously a step in the right direction for Aaron Rodgers, Alan Lazard, the whole offense, really. So it's promising for them.
Yeah, it's a good, I mean, I would, you know, put a claim in on both of them if they're available. Obviously, I thought Lazard should have been drafted. I don't know which one really is going to emerge from them, but either way, I am encouraged at what this passing game is going to look like. I think it goes beyond just the matchup. So I do think you want to add both of them and then see how the chips come out. Vikings side, not too much of a takeaway as far as I could tell. They tried really hard not to pass it early on, but eventually they had to. Cousins throws 25 times, two touchdowns, both of which go to Adam Thielen, who adds 110 yards. Cousins also throws a pick. Meanwhile, Dalvin Cook, he gets game scripted out a little bit. 12 carries, 50 yards, but he does score the two touchdowns. Any takeaways here from the Vikings side of the ball?
I believe that Dalvin Cook, I mean, if you can buy him right now, I know he scored two touchdowns, so people are going to say that it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to buy him right now after he scored two touchdowns, but people might look at the 12 carries and be worried. But this really comes down to time of possession for the Packers here. The Packers led this game 41 minutes and 16 seconds. They had possession of the ball. That's like unheard of. That just doesn't happen. But the Vikings, obviously, you know, Gary Kubiak, they're going to run the ball. They didn't have the ball enough in this game to do it. They had 49 total plays compared to the Packers 76 plays. So there was, when you have 49 plays as an offense, it's very difficult for anyone to succeed. So to know Dalvin Cook, you know, only had 12 carries, it doesn't surprise me. But scoring the two touchdowns, he got you through even in the worst possible scenario.
Yeah, I mean, Madison chipped in, but again, yeah, no worries at all about Dalvin Cook. If you can somehow buy low, you can. I mean, he scored two touchdowns, so I doubt fantasy managers are going to be like, I got to get rid of this guy. I got to see where we're going here. But if you could, I completely agree. This was just not a game where they were able to rely on the run as much as they wanted to. Patriots 21, Dolphins 11. Look, here's the one thing. Everybody loves Bill Belichick. Everybody loves Josh McDaniels, but they kept the same exact offense. They ran it as if Tom Brady was right there doing exactly what, by having the quarterback rush 15 times and never throwing the ball. It was nuts. I loved every part of it. Cam Newton scores two touchdowns and, you know, he throws for just 155 yards, but rushes 15 times for 75 yards and two scores. Nobody else really does. I think Sony Michel scores a touchdown, 10 carries for 37 yards. Your leading receiver is Julian Edelman for 57 yards. But I guess I got two questions for you, okay? Number one, is Cam Newton a QB1 going forward? And number two, do you roster anyone else on the Patriots other than Newton in half PPR formats?
Yeah, I mean, I think if Cam Newton's a legitimate rushing threat again, which it appears he is, I think Sony Michel is actually going to be more efficient. He's going to lose some of those goal line carries, yeah, but he might actually be more efficient. They were talking about easing him in. That's why Rex Burkhead got seven carries in this game. But Julian Edelman, he's probably the only one. Him and Cam Newton are the only ones. And Cam Newton, I would say, yeah, he's a low-end QB1. I don't think that he's going to come with elite upside like that he did a couple years ago where he was finishing as a QB1. But as a low-end QB1, absolutely. That delivers a high floor, absolutely.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. I think Newton is going to be within the top 12 QBs every week. But yeah, I don't think he's going to have the possibility of doing what he did in his peak years. Like, I just don't think there's going to be enough of that. I would roster Edelman as well, you know, in the passing game. But I don't know, man. I'm a little worried. I think this is going to be the attempted game script every single time. Their defense is still good, even with all the opt-outs. And I know it was Miami, but it's still a very solid defense. They're going to try to do that. They're going to try to... I mean, the game ended, you know, in like 20 minutes. The game was almost over because the clock just kept running. They just kept running. And so I do think that the pass attempts are going to be way down. So for Edelman, I'm going to be moving him down my rest of the season rankings because I am a little worried that this is what it's going to look like. But in terms of Newton, yeah, I like it. And I do think that this does bump up the stock a little bit of Sony Michel. On the other side of the ball, the big thing is that Devontae Parker aggravates his hamstring injury that he was battling coming in. Four catches, caught all four of his targets for 47 yards before he left. Let's assume he misses time tags because, you know, it's a soft tissue injury. Obviously, he aggravated it. You have to assume he's going to be out. Evaluate, at least in the short term, both Preston Williams, who had seven targets, two catches for 41 yards, and Mike Gesicki, who had five targets and three catches for 30 yards. How do you view them if Parker's going to miss time, which we assume he will?
I was just looking at that, and because I was looking at Parker, if he's out, which I'm expecting him to be, it's an aggravation of a soft tissue injury. I'm guessing he's going to miss 2 weeks. That's my guess. But if you look at the next week on the schedule, you're like, crap. It would have been better if Devontae Parker was playing for Preston Williams, because they're going to be playing against the Bills. And let's be real. There's no other wide receiver on this Miami Dolphins roster that you're really worried about outside of Preston Williams. So he might see the shadow coverage from Tre'Davious White, and that's a problem. So I'm not going to love Preston Williams next week, even if Devontae Parker is out. It's not sexy. I need to see the snap counts once this is all done, because I want to know if Jakeem Grant, Isaiah Ford, where they were lining up on in the formation, who got the snaps, because I do believe one of those guys might be a sneaky play next week as like a decent floor option, just because Buffalo does struggle over the middle of the field to slot receivers. But yeah, this is not a good football team. I think the biggest revelation we had in this game was that Myles Gaskin is playing ahead of Matt Breida. Why?
I don't understand. 9 carries for 40 yards and caught all 4 of his targets for 26 yards. Jordan Howard did get the touchdown on his whopping 7 yards on 8 carries. He did leave briefly with an injury, but yeah, I mean, are we just staying away entirely from this Dolphins backfield?
Yes. We thought that Jordan Howard might have a 12 carry floor, but apparently not. So yeah. I'm going to stay away. Yes.
Yeah. No good. All right. Before we keep going, maybe your team's not looking so hot after week one. That's all right. There's always a chance to turn around next week, both with your lineup and, of course, at DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Billions of dollars paid out since 2012. Millions of dollars up for grabs every single week. Millions. You know how to play by now, right? You pick your lineup. You stay under the salary cap. You enter as many contests as you want. The satisfaction that you get from picking a good DFS lineup is honestly as good as it gets in the fantasy world. Download the DraftKings app now. Use the code FANTASYPROS, because for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Again, that's code FANTASYPROS at DraftKings. Free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. Go make it rain out there. Minimum $5 deposit is required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. Washington football team 27, Eagles 17. Good for Washington from a real life standpoint, not too much to get excited about from a fantasy standpoint. Peyton Barber does score the 2 touchdowns, but 17 carries for 29 yards. Antonio Gibson just 11 touches for 44 yards. Thought he might do a little more. Terry McLaurin doesn't do all that much. So, I mean, at Arizona next week, what member of the Washington football team are you starting, if any?
Terry McLaurin. That's it.
That's it, right?
That is absolutely it. I mean, Peyton Barber, he's back. He's Peyton Barber. That is the most Peyton Barber stat line of all time. 17 carries, 29 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. So he's getting the goal line work, which is kind of what I thought. Once Peterson was gone and Geis was gone, it was like Antonio Gibson, a guy that's never had a whole lot of carries in his life. And I knew the upside was there if they used him in a hybrid role. And then I was like, JD McKissick, he's not getting goal line work. It's got to be Barber. But I didn't think this team would be in scoring up like position very often. He had 2 goal line carries today, and he converted on them. He had actually more than that, but he converted on 2 of them. But Gibson, this was my concern all along, was that it's an offense that's not going to score a whole lot of points. And when they do, it's like, is he even getting those goal line carries? So he has to break a long play in order to get into the end zone. And that's a problem when you're a guy that's only seeing 8 to 12 touches per game. So Gibson, I understood the hype around him, but I also never understood going into the middle rounds to get him, just because there was risk associated with him.
Yeah, I mean, I still have him I had him as a flex play today. I will probably have him as a flex play next week, but this was certainly a disappointing effort from him. On the other side of the ball, Carson Wentz looked great in the first half, and then, I mean, he was sacked 8 times overall, 2 picks. He was just, you know, the offensive line injuries just kind of did him in. Let's break down both parts of the game here, Tags. With the running game, you know, no Miles Sanders here. Boston Scott, 11 touches, 54 yards. He left briefly with an injury, but I believe he came back. And then Corey Clement, 8 touches, 21 yards. If there is no Miles Sanders next week against the Rams, can you start Boston Scott, or is this a backfield you're staying away from?
Yeah, I mean, I'd go back to Boston Scott. It was a weird week. And I think that Miles Sanders being a surprise, just a guy missing in action, I think that stuff changes the game plan so much that teams like they really have to stick with what they've been planning for all week. And they didn't know that Miles Sanders wasn't going to travel with the team. There's been rumors that this may have had something to do with COVID, where it's like he didn't know if he was going to play. Like, he probably could have, but they said, why travel and expose yourself to those elements if you weren't going to play for sure? And that's stuff to watch for this year, I guess, because if they really are going to play it that close to the vest, players that are traveling on that week that might be highly questionable, we might want to be like more prepared to be without him.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's talk about the receivers though here first. Kind of a weird day. DeSean Jackson, who, you know, everybody kind of loved, does see the targets with seven, just two catches for 46 yards. Jalen Reagor has that one big catch for 55 yards, but that's it on his four targets. Dallas Goedert, huge day, eight catches, 101 yards and a touchdown. Zach Ertz catches the early touchdown, but just three catches for 18 yards. Otherwise, he had a bad drop late in the game. You're trusting Zach Ertz, of course. Is there anybody else who you're trusting in this receiving core going forward?
I mean, Goddard, I have to look at the snaps once that stuff is actually released, because we don't have official snap numbers just yet. But Dallas Goedert is someone that they're in like heated contract talks with Zach Ertz, and they may be planning for life without Ertz. They may talk to trade him away at some point this season, especially if they're losing to teams like Washington. That's a real problem. But Dallas Goedert, if he played as many snaps as Ertz, it's very possible that this is a 1A, 1B situation, and that's really worrisome. But Goddard is someone that's actually on that fringe tight end one radar as well. So especially while Alshon Jeffrey is out, I think Dallas Goedert is someone you can consider on a weekly basis.
You remember my draft philosophy tags. Draft two tight ends, try to get that second one to be Dallas Goedert for this exact reason. So, you know, yeah, I agree. I'm excited about Goddard. You know, with Ertz, I'm not panicking yet, but obviously this is a bad day. Raiders 34, Panthers 30. Josh Jacobs with the most obvious dominant game that, you know, we saw coming. The yards per carry wasn't great, 25 for 93, but he does score three touchdowns. Plus, the real exciting thing for me, six targets, four catches, 46 yards. That's really what you want to see if you're going to have Jacobs go to that next level. Henry Ruggs injures his knee, has a big catch early, injures his knee, does come back, winds up with three catches for 55 yards. Nelson Aguilar catches the touchdown, which everybody saw coming. Nothing from Bryan Edwards here, just one target, one catch for 9 yards. Does this game change your opinion in any way on Josh Jacobs or Henry Ruggs?
Yeah, it obviously helps with Jacobs. I actually did bump him up, I think, to my RB8 at the end of draft rankings, just because of the disappearance of Tyrell Williams, then the trading away of Lynn Bowden. And it was like things are starting to shape up. And then it's like, because you don't have a bunch of established options around him. Ruggs and Edwards, people could be excited about them all they want, but they're still rookies. So I started to get a little bit more excited about Josh Jacobs. I am a little worried that we had Devontae Booker get three targets. Jalen Richard only saw one. So it's like, what's happening here? Is Devontae Booker actually going to be involved in this offense? Because that just, if they're involving Devontae Booker, I just give up on Greg Olsen.
I know, but he had six targets and four catches. He had 29 touches.
Then Bryan Edwards had one target. So it's easy if we just say Bryan Edwards gets five targets and all of a sudden we're looking at Josh Jacobs with two targets again. It definitely is a step in the right direction, because there wasn't a game last year, I don't think, where Josh Jacobs had more than four targets. So I'm coming around, and I love Jacobs and Devontae Adams. I'm so excited about this, by the way. If you guys don't listen to the DFS podcast, I am tooting our horn right now. My two locks of the week, like that I said, you're not supposed to have more than like 25-30% exposure to a player. I had legitimately 75% of my lineups had Josh Jacobs and Devontae Adams this week. So this was a smash spot. So it doesn't surprise me that Jacobs did really well. It's how he's going to bounce back next week that you really want to see how things go, because this offense is not going to score 34 points maybe again this year.
And I believe they have the Saints next week. So that's obviously not a great spot for a running back. But, you know, I don't know. You can't feel anything but really good about Josh Jacobs. Tags, I don't know why you told everybody to bench Christian McCaffrey this week, but hopefully they didn't listen to you and they started him anyway. Obviously, his usual dominant self, two touchdowns, 134 total yards. But let's talk receivers here. You know you're starting DJ Moore and you feel fine about it. Both Robbie Anderson and Curtis Samuel here see eight targets. This was a shootout game. Anderson is the one with the big day, six catches, 115 yards, and the touchdown, a long one there. Samuel only has five catches for 38 yards. Yates liked Robbie Anderson coming in. Are you going to buy Robbie Anderson as somebody that fantasy managers, if he's available, should pick up and can maybe start?
Well, I talked about him. That was another one in the primer this week, where I said the matchup actually favored a player like Robbie Anderson. And if you actually look at one of his better games with the Jets last year, it was against the Raiders. I want to say that they allowed the highest yards per reception in the league. So they continually got burned down the field against wide receivers. So I felt like Robbie Anderson had a chance, and he's a one play guy where it's like, you know, he could hit one play and make his week. And he did that this week on top of his other five catches for 40 yards. He had that 75 yard touchdown where wide open. I mean, it was just, and so it's obviously a good sign. This Panthers defense is going to allow so many points this year.
It's a perfect scenario for
it
that
really
team,
is.
Man.
It really is
great.
Yeah. No. I mean, DJ Moore is obviously going to produce better than he did today. He's the best wide receiver on that team, but Robbie Anderson was always going to be like a wide receiver four. He's going to be a little bumpy in his production, but obviously this is a matchup where he made it count.
Yeah, first touchdown tags of the entire NFL season on Sunday of the day goes to Nyheim Hines, of course, as everybody was very excited about, as the Jaguars score the upset 27-20. Hines gets in the end zone twice, 73 total yards. We talked about Mac very briefly. The fear is a torn Achilles. Let's work under that assumption, okay? At the very least, you know, even if it's a bad ankle or whatever they originally said, he's going to miss some time. Let's work under the assumption that's a torn Achilles. Jonathan Taylor, just 9 carries for 22 yards. Not that great, but he does catch all 6 of his targets for 67 yards. Assume for the moment that Mac is out for the rest of the season. Where do you rank Jonathan Taylor, and where do you rank Nyheim Hines going forward in running back rankings?
I think at this point, we have to move forward like Marlon Mack's going to miss the season. I think we really do have to project that. So, I mean, I'm going to put Taylor up around that RB14 range, RB15. You tell me if I'm crazy, but I'd rather own him than Nick Chubb.
Yes. No, I agree. He's actually 13th for me. And that's not final, but, you know, we try to do it on Sunday. He's 13th for me right now. One spot above Chubb. So yeah, for me, that's where I'm at. I mean, you can't not love his opportunity. Obviously, you feel bad for Marlon Mack. But yeah, how about Hines tags? Is he somebody who you want to own as a flex?
Nyheim Hines is someone that moves into that Tariq Cohen type territory for me. Maybe even with a higher ceiling because he got some carries. And that's the thing. So people are going to look at this and say, well, Mack got hurt. That's why Hines had more opportunity. Not really the case. The one that got opportunity that when Mack went down was Jonathan Taylor, because Jonathan Taylor, I kid you not, had zero touches in the first quarter. They were halfway through the second quarter when he got his first reception in the game. It was for like a 35-yard gain, if I'm not mistaken. So Nyheim Hines had a role in the offense. All the stuff that we heard from camp, I was like, yeah. Nyheim Hines was on the freaking roster last year. Like, why are we kidding ourselves here? This was one where I was wrong, and I'm willing to admit that I was wrong on it, because Nyheim Hines was involved early. He was involved often. He got touches in the red zone. That matters. So if you like were to come to me and say, hey, you want, if Marlon Mack is out, if you were like, hey, Nyheim Hines or James White, I'll take Nyheim Hines.
Yep. You are correct. That is the correct way to analyze the situation. He should be above James White because he is going to be involved. I did not expect anything close to this, and it was absolutely maddening when it was happening in the beginning.
Yes.
But assuming that Marlon Mack is out, absolutely. I think he's going to be a big part. You know what Rivers likes to do with his pass catching back. So completely agree with you on there. Colts receivers, not a great
Paris,
day for TY.
Don't you dare say anything. Don't say nothing great. Paris Campbell
is
great.
You're cutting me off. Not a great day for T.Y. Hilton. Okay. 9 targets, 4 catches for 53 yards. But Paris Campbell is the guy that we were like, pick him up now. Don't wait for him to have the big game just in case. And he goes 9 targets, 6 catches, 71 yards. So is he going to be somebody? Can you start Minnesota and the Jets coming up? Can you start him or what?
I mean, you watched both of those teams play defense today, right?
Not good. Not good.
Not good at all. So yes, Paris Campbell was a guy that was, we talked about on the podcast,
I think.
And we said he was only like 22% owned in leagues. And I was like, why? Meanwhile, Michael Pittman and Zach Pascal were splitting snaps. So Paris Campbell's got a legit like role in this offense, and Phillip Rivers obviously loves him. So yes, Paris Campbell, definitely someone that should be owned and probably going to be in that wide receiver 4, maybe even sometimes wide receiver 3 territory.
Yeah, he's a guy who I think you can probably get away with starting most weeks. I hope you drafted him and had him stashed, because he is going to be a contributor. On the other side, Jaguars, Gardner Minshew, man, just the
so
best.
Awesome.
The best thing.
I love that
world.
Guy.
For the NFL, 19 of 20 for 173 yards and 3 touchdowns, 1 each to Keelan Cole, LaVisca Chenault, and DJ Chark. Is there any takeaway from the passing game part of this tag, Chenault?
I love that the Jaguars won this game. And I'm sorry, Colts fans, this has nothing to do with you. This has everything to do with the Jaguars trying to tank. And I said this. I don't remember which podcast it was, but you guys listen, so you guys know. I said, I hope that Minshew wins like 8 games this year, because he is a competent quarterback and really screws the Jags over in trying to go for that number 1 overall pick, because they accumulated so many picks this offseason. It's kind of ridiculous. But I was laughing when they won, because Minshew played fantastic. This is going to be the only game this year, I'm going to call it now, I think it's the only game this year that the Jags are going to throw the ball fewer than 30 times. So if you wanted to, my advice, you know, on this side of the ball, buy DJ Chark, buy. People are going to look at the fact that he had 3 targets and they're going to say, this is worrisome. I'm not worried at all. DJ Chark is really good at football. He's going to be fine. Buy him right now. I thought James Robinson looked decent too.
Yeah, what do you think about him, Tex? How's your outlook on him? He has 16 for 62 on the ground, plus one catch for 28 yards.
I had him as the RB 28 or 29 this week, so I liked him as an RB3. And I started wondering, why aren't we looking at James Robinson like we were looking at Leonard Fournette before he was released? Because think about it, Chris Thompson's on the roster, his role's not changing. It's not like he's walking into a workhorse role. Ozigbo on IR, Rykel Armstead on the COVID list. It was like, he has Leonard Fournette's role. Like, he has his role on the team. So 16 carries for 62 yards, catches a ball for 28 yards. I think he's a sturdy wide RB3. You could probably play him as a low-end RB2 if the matchup is good. And this was not a good matchup against the Colts.
Yeah, I think more like a high-end, RB3. That's actually where I have him going rest of the season, because if they don't add anybody, he looked spry, and I think he's going to be heavily involved like he was in this game. Ravens 38, Browns 6. Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews, their 2020 version looks a lot like their 2019 version. I don't really think we need to break that down too much other than to say they are really, really good.
So good.
Hollywood Brown, a guy who I really was buying before the season started with the added muscle, and there'll be probably more pass attempts. Tops 100 yards receiving, but let's talk the running game here. That's the most interesting part. Mark Ingram, 10 carries, so the most carries of any back. Just 29 yards. J.K. Dobbins, 7 carries, only 22 yards, but 2 touchdowns. Gus Edwards gets in there with 4 carries. So, I mean, how are you breaking this down? They split it up, roughly. J.K. Dobbins looks like, basically the same number of snaps, a little more than Mark Ingram, and Gus Edwards a quarter of the snap. So how are you breaking down this backfield going forward?
You know what's crazy is if you were to slide those 2 touchdowns to J.K. or from Dobbins up to Mark Ingram, I think it would have been exactly how I projected in terms of a touch from a touch standpoint, because Ingram was a guy that I talked about. He had more than 15 carries just once last year. He's not involved in the passing game. So I was like, Dobbins is just going to lower his ceiling and it's going to lower his floor a little bit too. I still thought Ingram would get 12 to 14 carries. I figured he'd be in that range, but to see him down at 10 in a game that they were winning throughout, to see Dobbins get some goal line work, that's worrisome for him, man. I mean, this team is going to score a lot of touchdowns. And Lamar Jackson, he rushed for 45 yards, didn't have a touchdown. I mean, Lamar Jackson, I just think he doesn't want to score rushing touchdowns at this point, because if you actually watch him play, it's kind of stupid. There was a play where he was running towards the sideline and he started juking. Then he stopped and just stood there for a second while the defender basically fell down because he got juked so bad. And it's like, I think Lamar Jackson just wants to throw touchdowns and he's having a blast doing it. He throws another 3 touchdowns here, basically a perfect passer rating. Dude, it's just ridiculous, but it's going to be ugly. I don't think Mark Ingram is someone that you're going to want to rely on every single week. Now he's going to be better than he was today, but it's not going to be great if J.K. Dobbins keeps doing what he did today.
Yeah, this one hurts a little bit because I was a little higher, I think, on Ingram.
What's
than
your
most
problem,
were.
Man?
What is my problem, man? I have so many problems, but my problem right now is that I was higher on Mark Ingram, and I'm going to have to reevaluate it because this does change the way I looked. Again, nobody was great. And again, if there is a back that I want to roster right now, it still is Ingram for at least the foreseeable future. But yeah, this is not what I was hoping for. Let's go on the other side of the ball here with the Browns. Start with the running game. Basically, Chubb and Hunt essentially split snaps. Very tough matchup. So neither one ran poorly. Chubb, 10 carries for 60 yards and 1 catch for 6. Hunt, 13 carries for 72 yards, plus 6 targets, 4 catches for 9 yards. So, I mean, they were playing from behind tags. Any takeaways here from the running game? Do you think Hunt's going to be more involved than we thought or what?
No, well, so I actually found a Browns beat reporter that reported that Chubb had 21 snaps in the first half compared to Hunt's 11. So it was more of like a 60-30 split at that point, or 65-35, which is what we expected, really. And then obviously the game got way out of hand and it was like, okay. And then that's when it evened out, where I think Chubb played maybe one more snap than Hunt did on the entire day. So it's still Nick Chubb as the leader here. But at the same time, it's like, if the defense plays like this, then can we really project the Browns to be in a positive game script very often? It doesn't.
I don't think we can take away too much. It's the Ravens, man. I mean, and there you give, they have the whole season. And again, John Harbaugh doesn't just want to win. He wants to tear your heart out, and it's impossible to stop this team. So I'm not going to draw too many things away from the defense. If it is like this, then we've got major problems. But the one thing is the passing game, obviously, again, Ravens is a great defense. OBJ, man. I mean, this looks a lot like last year. 10 targets, just 3 catches for 22. And Jarvis Landry, 6 targets, 5 catches, 61. And Njoku catches the touchdown pass. Are you taking anything away here, or is this just a bad match?
This is one where I'm actually going to go back and watch the All 22 film. I want to watch Beckham. I want to watch his routes to see what's happening here, to see if it's on him, if it's on Mayfield, if it's the off. I don't know. because last year I saw a lot of things wrong with this team, whether it be the offensive line, Mayfield, the offense, the way it was being run. But to see 10 targets and then him walk away, again, this is a brutal matchup, and you don't love the matchup against the Ravens. But at the same time, the old Odell Beckham, if he gets 10 targets, he's going to produce like a wide receiver three at minimum. So it's like, is the old Odell Beckham gone? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I wasn't that excited about him coming in. So, but I'm not going to draw too much here. It's a very tough matchup. Let's see what they look like next week. Chargers 16, Bengals 13. Look, Justin Jackson gets injured here. The good part for Austin Ekeler is the 20 touches, and he gets 84 yards on 19 carries. The bad part is one target. That's not how you're supposed to be. And Kelly, 12 carries, 60 yards, and the score. And he looks good doing it. So how do you feel right now about this Chargers backfield?
They were giving Justin Jackson the majority of snaps early on. And then all of a sudden they saw Joshua Kelly running against the competition. They were like, okay, he's the guy going forward. Like he's clearly the number two. I don't want to take too much away from his performance, because the Bengals are a team that obviously were trashed against the run last year. They've got some new pieces. They're going to be working together. It's going to take some time. But Austin Ekeler, the one target, is absolutely worrisome. We saw Tyrod Taylor continually target Mike Williams, leaving him for dead, by the way. I really did not think that Mike Williams was going to be able to walk off the field after this game. The guy took so many big hits. He looked really good, though.
Yeah, he did. Surprisingly, like very, very questionable to play. And then he looked good.
Yeah, he really did. And he outproduced Keenan Allen, despite we didn't even think he was going to play this week. So Mike Williams moving up in the rankings if he's got Tyrod Taylor willing to take some shots down the field. But Ekeler, someone who had 73% of his production last year came through the air. So one target is extremely worrisome. I'm going to admit, I was low on Ekeler going through the offseason. And as we got closer and closer, I'm like, all right, I'm buying in. And I ended up moving up all the way to, I think, RB 12 or 13. But this was my worry all along. And it's ticking me off because he should be used more in the passing game.
Yeah, it's weird. In a game where they were conservative, you know, I thought there'd be a lot more dump offs and everything like that in a close game. So it is worrisome. Again, 20 touches as a whole. Great. I mean, that's good. Obviously, in 84 rushing yards on 19 carries, that's good. But in the end, come on. What's your problem, man, Anthony Lynn? Let's go to the Bengals here. A very tough defense to go against, so I don't want to draw too many conclusions. And, you know, Burrow, he does throw for 193 yards and the interception. He runs for the touchdown, though. He gets 8 carries, 46 yards with the touchdown. Joe Mixon, kind of quiet, 19 for 69. No receiver has more than 51 yards. Again, I didn't love the Bengals receivers coming in. We talked about that a little bit on the Start Sit show. So AJ Green is your leading receiver with 51 yards. Any takeaways here that you want to draw from the Bengals side of the ball?
Not too much. I didn't expect a whole lot out of Joe Burrow in this game. Again, for a wide receiver to have like jitters and stuff like that, imagine being a quarterback, you know, a number one pick walking into your first start against the freaking Chargers. This team has a nasty pass rush. I would say they have the best cornerback unit in football, especially on the perimeter. It's just, and that's, it was going to be tough for Burrow in this game. So to see him sneak in there, a rushing touchdown obviously held up fantasy numbers a little bit, but I don't want to take too much away from this. I think we're going to see Joe Burrow. If we don't see an improvement next week, that would be, you know, where I'd start to get concerned. But this matchup, I think I had him outside my top 20 quarterbacks this week. I didn't expect much out of him.
Yeah, no, at least he salvages a little bit of his day with that rushing touchdown. Again, he's going to give you that rushing production, which is going to boost up his floor a little bit. Let's go Saints 34, Bucks 23. Kind of an ugly game all around. I mean, Alvin Kamara scores the two touchdowns, but it's not a particularly exciting game. Now, they were playing from ahead, but you've got Latavius Murray, 15 carries for 48 yards, and Alvin Kamara, 12 carries for 16 yards. How much do you think this is going to be a split in the backfield in terms of breaking down the carries?
Well, I'm mad first and foremost because I had Alvin Kamara a little bit lower than the consensus this week because Tampa Bay is such a brutal team to run the ball against. Honestly, they rank number one in the NFL in yards per attempt allowed and yards per target allowed to running backs. So they were tops in the league. Like, they slowed down Christian McCaffrey last year with no other team did that. So I was worried about it. And then he scores two touchdowns. He only gets 16 yards on 12 carries. I do think that this team is going to run the ball a whole lot more. They had 34 total carries in this game. That's a lot. That's a real lot. And especially in a tough matchup against the Bucks, who we know where their strengths are.
Breeze was getting pressured. I mean, that's the weird thing. Like, the passing game did not look in sync whatsoever. And you thought that's what how you would attack the Bucks, just 18 for 30. And they were ahead. So I think they just kind of leaned into it. But it was a weird game.
Yeah, Michael Thomas, 3 catches for 17 yards.
Yeah.
And then he,
very weird.
I think he was dinged up. Like, we started recording and I saw him walking up the field. It was a little bit gingerly. So I don't know if Michael Thomas was dinged up at the end of that game.
Okay. Yeah. You know that his three catches for 17 yards fall just short of Emmanuel Sanders' three catches for 15 yards. And that's that. Emmanuel Sanders for the win. Let's go to the Bucs here. Tom Brady has a fine fantasy day in the end, 239 yards passing, two touchdowns, plus two interceptions. Plus he does his patented QB sneak for the touchdown. But Tags, I watched a lot of this game. He didn't look particularly good. Do you disagree with that? It makes me a little worried about this offense.
One of the interceptions that he had, it was Mike Evans stopped a route.
That's true.
It was not good. Mike Evans was not good in this game.
No, he did catch the late touchdown, though, to you know, salvage a two-yard touchdown at the very end of the game. By the way, Chris Godwin, we were recording. It looked like Chris Godwin. I mean, he got popped really hard. It might have looked like a concussion. I don't want to, you know, we were literally recording as it started. So just FYI. But go ahead, Tex. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. The biggest takeaway for me isn't doesn't have anything to do with the pass catchers. I didn't expect a whole lot of Evans. I moved him down to wide receiver 38, knowing that he could have been on a snap count. I had Godwin lower than consensus, too. I had him at, like, wide receiver 12 or 13. Just because this matchup against the Saints, this Saints team is so damn good. Like, think about it this way. Their offense was not good today. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. And they still won the football game 34-23 against a Bucs team that obviously has some talent. Ronald Jones was the biggest surprise for me.
Yeah.
He looked so damn good. And like, and again, if Leonard Fournette were not on this football team, I'd say Ronald Jones is a top 18 running back moving forward.
So what do you say now, though? What do you do with Fournette being on the team? Let me ask something. Don't you think that if Ronald Jones plays like this, he's not giving it up? Like, who cares about the fact that they went to Fournette?
But this isn't a Chris Carson situation where if Ronald Jones, the first time he screws up, he's going to be pulled. And that's the part I'm worried about, because Leonard Fournette is walking into a better situation where I don't know if he'll succeed, but he might succeed. But yeah, Ronald Jones looked so damn good. And by the way, at the start of that game, there was a pass that he caught, a screen pass that Brady underthrew, and Jones reached down to grab it and he caught it and he fell to the ground. He was so wide open that he actually got up and then ran for another 10 yards. That probably could have been like a 50 plus yard touchdown. It was just underthrown, but Ronald Jones, he played exceptional today.
Yeah, no, he was good. If he looks like that, I agree with you in the fact that the leash is really short. But so if he's going to play like this, that's his backfield. That is his backfield. He looked really, really good. Final game here, Tags. Cardinals 24, 49ers 20. They score the upside. Kyler Murray, 230 yards passing, one touchdown, one interception, but 91 yards rushing, including a rushing score. DeAndre Hopkins, just absolutely nuts. 16 targets, 14 receptions for 151 yards. Kenyon Drake, not a great, you know, yards per carry, but he does find the end zone. Chase Edmonds scores the early receiving touchdown. So takeaways here at all from the Cardinals offense.
I'm glad I didn't give up on DeAndre Hopkins.
There
were a lot of people saying because he went to a new team, new quarterback, you know, there's other receiving options here that you shouldn't want to invest a pick on DeAndre Hopkins. And I had him as my number five wide receiver. I never even felt great about it, but I was like, we've seen DeAndre Hopkins produce with quarterbacks throughout his career that have been a lot worse than Kyler Murray. 14 catches. I mean, geez.
16 targets. I mean, give me that all day long. I mean, I don't know what his ceiling could possibly be if he's going to see this. And again, Murray is a good quarterback, and I expect him to, you know, we talked about some of his growing pains in year one, but you give him another year in that system, man, Tags, I don't know.
I think Murray's fine. I don't think Murray's going to be great. I don't. And I know people are going to come after me with that. I think he's fine. I think he'll be a fine quarterback, but getting DeAndre Hopkins certainly helps matters because we saw Deshaun Watson on Thursday night. We saw him struggle without that legitimate, like that valve. You know, he went to Will Fuller quite a bit and Fuller played well, but having DeAndre Hopkins out there, knowing he's out there available to you, it just does something to a quarterback's confidence that they can go to that guy in any situation. And there was no situation last year where Kyler Murray targeted a guy 16 times. So
yeah. All right. For the 49ers, we had it's kind of a weird game. We talked about Mostert already and what was going on with Tevin Coleman. Jerick McKinnon does find the end zone through the air, three catches, 20 yards and a touchdown. And Mostert has the other receiving touchdown. George Kittle gets injured in this game. I believe he came back, but I don't even know if he had a catch in the second half, because I think he might have had 4 for 44 in the first half and then shut out in the second half. So hopefully he's fine. But, you know, you had the injuries, obviously, all through the receiving corps. You had Tevin Coleman not really being involved. Any takeaways here from a sloppy game from the 49ers?
Not so much. I figured this game would be close. I think I had Arizona because they were getting like 6.5 points.
Six in the and a half, correct.
Yeah, yep. I had them picked in this one. I also had the under, so I nailed both of those. Even
Way
though I just felt like the 49ers were missing so many players in the offense, it was going to be really difficult. Like I need to go through the wide receiver snaps, because I mean, were any of them targeted more than like four times?
Kendrick Bourne had a whopping five.
Yeah, that's
crushed
not.
It. Crushed your four.
I still don't understand why they don't get Dante Pettis in the field more. I mean, I understand that there was something between him and Shanahan, whatever. But I mean, Dante Pettis is he's the most talented wide receiver that's healthy, and they don't want to get him on the field.
Look, he saw his one target. He didn't catch it. So done. Out of here.
So that's long, it. Sucker.
All right, that's it for the Sunday Night Recap Show. Tags, one down, 15 more to go, so we're good. You want to talk some waiver wire tomorrow morning? How about it?
We're going to do it, regardless if I tell you if I want to or not.
That is the patented Harris move to ask if you want to do something, even though it doesn't matter what you say.
It's true.
Remember, if you are listening to this on our podcast, you could have also been watching it live on Sunday night on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros, to which you should already be subscribed. Go now. You can watch it now, even though it's not live. Thanks to Pristine Auction. Remember, thousands of auctions every single day. Autographed sports memorabilia up the wazoo. PristineAuction.com. That's PRISTINE auction.com. Use our referral code FantasyPros. You get a free $5 credit. Finally, DraftKings. Forget about your week one lineup. Pick a new team every week over at DraftKings. Use our code FantasyPros. Get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes. We are going to be back talking about the best waiver wire pickups in like a few hours or something at this point. We will talk to you then.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.